بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, in this life we understand a basic principle, and the basic principle is that in whatever aspect of life we might be in, if we want a certain result, if we want certain conditions to happen, then we have to make effort in that direction. This is something that, as far as the worldly life is concerned, you don't have to convince anybody. Everybody knows this. For example, these boys are in school and college. Whether they do it or not is not the issue, but nobody has to convince them that if they want a good result in the exam, that they have to study. They may study, they may not study, but I'm saying it's not a matter, it's not that they are not studying because they don't know that they have to study for the result. They know this. They may still not be studying for whatever reason. So if you want the result and in the exam to be good, then you have to study. Nobody doubts this. If you are in business, then nobody doubts the fact that if you want the business to do well, to be profitable and so on, then you have to spend time focusing on your sales, focusing on your profitability, focusing on your cost-benefit ratios and so on and so forth. Nobody needs convincing about this. If you, for example, Ismail's photography. If you want to take some, you know, phenomenal photographs, then you have to make the effort in that direction. You must learn photography, you must get good equipment, you must be in the right place and so on and so forth. Nobody needs convincing about that. People know this. For this, whatever, we look at the final goal and we say, this is what I need to make XYZ effort for that. Take, you know, bodybuilding, for example. Everybody today seems to be into this thing, right? So, if you want a good body, then what must you do? Yeah, effort. You do go join a gym, you do some exercise and so on, you eat the right food and whatever. Now, the point is that though we understand this logic with regard to this dunya, it seems that somewhere when it comes to the Akhirah, we have some other logic. And our logic for the Akhirah seems to be that simply wishing is enough. I wish for Jannah. This is enough. There is no need to make any effort for Jannah. There is no need to make, to stop ourselves from doing something. No, you can do whatever you like. Live your life any way you like. No problem. Just wishing for Jannah will get you Jannatul Firdausul Ala bi ghairi hisab. Just wishing is enough. We seem to have this understanding. Now my point is, from where did we get this understanding? How did this understanding happen? It makes zero sense. There is no logic, nothing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you read the Quran, Allah said this not once but multiple times. But we live our lives as if all of that doesn't matter. Just wishing is enough. Now my reminder to myself and you is that wishing is not enough. Take again worldly conditions. Today we are all very hassled and bothered and stressed out because of the difficulties that Muslims are in. As we speak, sometime back, there were the blasts in Sri Lanka. These blasts were apparently done by a few people. And then the general Muslim population, they tried to help the people who were affected by the blast. They contributed and they did money and effort and so on and so forth. And their leaders and the ulama all made statements and all that. But from then till now, including today, There have been attacks on Muslim homes and Muslim shops, and there is a huge hostility against Muslims all over Sri Lanka. Now, nobody in his right mind, logically speaking, can blame the entire Muslim population of Sri Lanka for what happened. Right? But conditions are there. That's what they're doing. People are attacking everybody. And then, obviously, in all these things, usually the general understanding will be, something must be wrong. So, there is a implied blame on the entire community. I won't even say whether they are guilty or not, because the question of being guilty does not even arise. How can the whole population be left? It's impossible, right? So, despite that, there will always be this implied justification for what is happening. So, we are all very concerned. Everybody is concerned. Similarly, I don't have to go into a list of all the things that are happening to Muslims in the world. It's almost everywhere it is happening. There is no place that is exempt. And we sit and we wonder, why is it happening? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us very clearly. Allah told us in Surah Ar-Rum, Zahara al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri. Why? Bima kasabat aydin nas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly, this whole fasad, this trials, tribulations, difficulties, calamities and so on, which you find on the sea and on the earth, is why? Bima kasabat aydin nas. Because of the deeds that come from the hands of people. Now people say, oh, why doesn't God do anything? Why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help? Because Allah told us, بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِي النَّاسِ لِيُزِقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي يَعْمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly, Allah said, these are happening because of your deeds, and we allow it to happen so that you can get a taste. يُزِقَهُمْ زَائِقَ, just a taste. This is not the full result. No matter how bad it looks, it is not the full results. It is only a taste of your deeds. بَعْدَ الَّذِي يَعْمِلُوا. For what? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجُونَ. So that you may return towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing for us the problem and is telling us the solution. What more do we want? There is a concept of avatar does not exist in Islam. Allah is not going to descend on the earth to solve our problems. So Allah is showing us. Allah is saying, there is a problem. Yes, there is a problem. Sure, there is a problem. You created it. So, mend it. Change your ways. Which also means what? Which means that until we change our ways, these problems are not going to go away, but they will become worse. Because if Allah is giving us a taste of our deeds so that we will change, what does it tell you? It's not sufficient. If you don't change, so supposing you are getting take for example, some child is putting his hand towards the fire. So the mother first will tap like this. One tap. Right? He doesn't change. Puts his hand some more. Next tap will be harder. The third time you will get one whack, bounce off the wall. I mean, the point is that you are being told in a nice way, you don't want to listen. You are being told maybe in a way which is not so nice. Somebody is, raised his voice. You still don't listen. Then what? So, simply sitting and wishing that one day this will all disappear, being in denial. No, nothing is wrong with us. This is stupidity. This is complete and total insanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you something is wrong with you. Where is the question of saying, if nothing is wrong with you, this would not have happened. As simple as that. As the Quran is saying, if there was nothing wrong with you, these conditions would not happen. Because if the bad conditions are because of bad actions, no bad actions means no bad conditions. And we have enough and more history to prove that. As long as the Muslims behaved like Muslims, conditions didn't come. Bad conditions didn't happen. It's not as if every Muslim in those times was, you know, had iman and amal of the level of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No. The conditions of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala come on the basis of the actions of the majority of people. Not so every single person does not have to become, hugely pious. And also, just a few pious people won't change anything. The bad conditions will come. Both are equally bad. A few evil people will not bring about bad conditions, and a few pious people cannot stop bad conditions. So if you say, well, you know, I am praying. You are praying, so what? Nobody else is praying. That's the reason also for the importance of da'wah. The importance of correcting our environment. It must begin in the homes. It must begin in our own societies. That critical mass has to be reached. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do whichever. Either He will lift the bad conditions or He will bring about bad conditions. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah does not change the good condition of a people until they change it from within themselves. Allah does not destroy you for fun. We destroy ourselves. Great civilizations don't collapse because of external forces. They collapse because of internal corruption. It's like termites eating up the building from inside. From the outside it looks nice, until one day it collapses. That is what we have been doing to ourselves. So, my submission to you and my reminder to myself is, the time to change has come and it is on our heads. First and foremost thing we need to do is to convince ourselves that death is real, that it will happen. Just yesterday, one of my very, very dear friends in South Africa, he passed away. Ibrahim Bhai Gangat, who was one of the stalwarts of journalism in radio, and he was a presenter for decades on CII and later on Salaam Media. And one of the programs that he used to do was called Sabahul Khair. And he interviewed me and did my programs on Sabahul Khair for many years. Now, one of the things that Ibrahim Bhai used to do was death announcements. So, somebody passed away and all that, it would come on Sabahul Khair. Ibrahim Bhai would then make this announcement saying so and so and so. Yesterday, I heard Ibrahim Bhai's own death announcement. So, I'm thinking to myself, first thing which struck me was, here is a man who used to announce and tell people that so and so passed away. Now, we are hearing the news of his own passing away. Point I'm making is that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him Jannatul Firdaus wa bighayri hisab. He was a wonderful man. Allah gave him death in Ramadan al-Kareem, which itself is Bashara, inshallah. The point I'm saying is, death is real. This is an absolute certainty in life. Nothing else is certain in life. Your success is not certain. Nothing is certain. Neither success is certain, nor failure is certain, nor health is certain, nor wealth is certain, nor influence is certain. Nothing is certain except death. That is one thing which is absolutely 100% it's going to happen. So I think it's important for us to convince ourselves about this. Because we seem to live in a way where it looks as if that itself is doubtful. You know, death is always for somebody else. I'm not going to die, it's always someone else. So I think the most important thing is convince yourself, say, I am going to die. Then what? And that then what must be answered today, because it cannot be answered on that. Once you are dead, you are dead. Then after that, there is no change of anything. What you took with you will go with you. So today we have to change and say, what am I taking with me? And a simple thing I am saying is that I am not trying to push 20 rakat of Taraweeh. Right? Nobody is paying me for the number of people who stay. But my point is very simple. Here is a situation where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding you per letter of Quran that you read or hear. So we did the calculation. The difference between the reward for 8 rakat and 20 rakat is in hundreds of thousands of hasanat. Simple question. If you have real yaqeen in the akhirah, why would you leave that reward from Allah unless there is a absolutely, you know, overwhelming, compelling reason to leave? Why would we leave it? Second thing is, Rasulullah ﷺ hadith, where he said that the person who stays with the imam until the end of the salah will have his sins forgiven. Where 20 rakat is being prayed, 8 rakat is not end of salah. So here is a bashara of the Nabi alayhi salam that your sins will be forgiven, but you are leaving it and going away. That's why I remember, I think a couple of years ago, I said, if you want to pray 8 rakat, then go to a masjid where they are praying 8 rakat. Pray 8 rakat, salah finished, stay with the imam till the end, then go home, no problem. I'm not pushing 20 rakat. I mean, there is no compulsion to pray 20 rakat. So no problem. You pray 8. But go and pray 8 in a masjid where they are praying 8. But you go to a masjid which is praying 20 because of other reasons. It's more convenient, carpet is softer, air conditioning is better, or God knows what, right? So you go to that masjid for where they are praying 20 rakat, but you leave before 20. I mean, even if you are leaving, you know, in 19 rakat, it's still not 20. So the point is, if you are doing that, then what's happening? One is, you are leaving behind hundreds of thousands of hasanat per day. And number two, you are denying yourself the bashara of the forgiveness of sins made by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, if you are doing this deliberately on a daily basis after being reminded, and I am reminding you every day, what does it say about your own yaqeen in the akhirah? Simple as that. I'm not talking about the masala of fiqh of 8 and 20. Forget all that. Just a simple issue of, do I really have yaqeen in the akhirah? Do I really believe that these hasanat are going to into my account? Do I really believe that one day I will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this bashar of Rasulullah will be a wasila for me? Ya Allah, whatever I did, at least I stayed with the imam. Your Nabi alayhi salam said, I will be forgiven, so please forgive me. Rest of it, whatever I did, I mean, that's why you need to forgive me, because I did all this stuff, right? But this one day I stayed with the imam in the Taraweeh. This is the bashar of Rasulullah. Some excuse, inshallah, Allah alam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one to accept it. I'm just saying that at least that you have in your hand, but you want to leave that and you want to go away. If you are doing that, what does it say about, do you really believe you will die? Do you really believe that you will be resurrected? Do you really believe that you will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you really believe that the basharat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are true? Or was he joking? What was it? That's why I remind myself, I keep saying, get real in life. Don't live like this. We are living as if you are, you know, in some fog. Yeah? Let us get real. Live thoughtfully, live sensibly, live understand. And do whatever you do it deliberately. Even if you are walking away from that 8 rakat and 20 rakat, you say, I am leaving behind so many 100,000 hasanat, I don't need them. I am leaving behind the bashar of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I don't need it, I am going. Say it to yourself. Maybe that will get some sense into the head and say, what am I saying? Am I mad or something? I come to the masjid, I am saying I am leaving behind all this and going, am I crazy? Maybe some sense will come by actually saying it to yourself. Seriously, I remind myself and you, let us get real in life, because the day when we will meet Malakul Maut is very, very close. We don't know how close it is. We do not know how close it is. Very, very close. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to open our eyes before our eyes are opened for us, and to help us to lead our lives in obedience to his orders and according to the sunnah of his Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.